Good singing this morning. Praise the Lord for the good special music. And turn, if you would, to Job 15 this morning. We don't know for sure whether or not there will be a luncheon for the funeral. So if there is, we will send a one call out. And then if you want to contact the church, we'll let you know what we would need to bring for that. But just a show of hands, if there were to be a luncheon, how many here would be planning to stay for the luncheon, just so we have a ballpark idea? Okay, very good. Okay, Job 15, if you would turn there. This morning, we're going to do something very unusual. We're going to be in 16 chapters today. So buckle up. We got a long day ahead of us. Not really. We will be in 16 chapters, but hopefully we won't be any longer than normal. It's encouraging at times to watch somebody who's been going through a difficult time to maintain their faith in God. It's never enjoyable to see somebody struggling and going through difficulties, but every one of us has said about somebody probably in our lifetime, I don't know how they're getting through what they're getting through. Because we watch somebody who's enduring something that we just can't imagine. And the reason why we can't imagine how they're getting through what they're getting through is because they're getting through it based upon the grace that God has given them for their problem. I don't need the grace to get through what you're going through, and you don't need it to get what I'm going through, but I need the grace for what I'm going through. And God is good that He will always give us the grace to handle whatever He throws our way. So this morning, we're going to be looking, and if you remember, we've been looking at Job, and Job has the three friends, so to speak, who are telling him over and over again, Job, you're sinning, that's why if you would just get right and repent, and God will bless you again. And so Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar have been battering him back and forth. And I don't want to continue to belabor this for the next many weeks, going through the next 15 chapters, 16 chapters. So this morning we're going to look at, we're not going to finish the book, but we're going to get to chapter 25 this morning. But this is what we're going to do. So you're going to get a little workout, because what my plan is to do is we're going to look at Eliphaz, who starts again, and then Job responds. And then Bildad, and Job responds. And then Zophar, and Job responds. Then Eliphaz again, and Job responds. And then Bildad, and Job responds, and no more Zophar. Zophar only gets one chance to say something, and then another friend pops up. We'll get to him in a few weeks. But what we're going to do is we're going to look, first of all, at Eliphaz, and see him in verse chapter 15 and 22. We're not going to look at Job's response. Then we're going to see Bildad in chapter 18 and 25. See what he says. And then we're going to look at Zophar in chapter 20. Then we're going to go back and see Job's response to each one of them in the several chapters that he deals with that. So it made sense when I studied and prepared this. Hopefully that'll make sense to you today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that Job was a man who had incredibly strong faith in you. Lord, we all would like to think that we have strong faith as well. But Lord, our faith can't be proven strong unless our faith is put to the test. Lord, we don't like that. But we know it's necessary at times. And so I don't know what each one is going through in this room this morning. Some, Lord, may have had a really difficult week with trials and difficulties, and you know all about that. Lord, some may be facing something this coming week. You know about that too. Through it, Lord, you want us to do what Job did, to maintain a close walk, a close relationship with you. So I pray that you would just teach us, Lord, what it is that you want us to hear from you this morning. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So start, if you would, in chapter 15. Chapter 15, again, Job's friends are going to misrepresent God. Once again, it says this, "Then answered Eliphaz the Temanite and said, should a wise man utter vain knowledge and fill his belly with the east wind?" Again, he says, Job, if you were really wise, you claim to be wise, if you were really wise, would you be speaking foolish things? Like, Job, what you're saying is foolish. You're saying, look at all of my problems, and you're saying this is not from God because you've sinned. That's foolishness. Job, again, you have filled your belly with the east wind. Again, over and over and over again, his friends have said, Job, you're full of hot air, you're a hypocrite, you're a sinner. And Job constantly is saying, I'm telling you, I am not a sinner. I'm not claiming to be perfect, but I'm telling you, as far as I can tell, there is no sin. There's no hidden agenda in my heart. As far as you know, I'm right with God. There's no bitterness. There's no anger toward God. I'm doing my best to walk closer with him. Again, Eliphaz, should he reason with unprofitable talk or speeches wherewith he can do no good? Job, just because you're speaking, just because you're talking, you can't talk your way out of this one. You know some people that seem like they can talk their way out of any situation they get themselves in, and they come out, even though they messed up, they come out making themselves look good, and everybody knows they're lying except them, but they somehow have this gift of gab, and it's hard to argue with them because they're just always, always right. That's how they're looking at Job. Job is saying, listen, I promise you, I'm sincere. I'm not doing that. Good on verse 10. Eliphaz says this, with us, with your three friends here, with us are both the gray-headed and the very aged men. Job, we're much older than your father. Now, when did being old equate to being wise? Now, it should, right? The longer you're alive, the wiser you should be, right? But that doesn't always happen. There are some old people who are foolish because they've never grown in their relationship with God. So just because we're old, we need to show them respect, right? Because you should show respect to the elderly. But just because they're old, older than Job and older than Job's father, doesn't mean they're wiser. Now, if they had all walked with God faithfully, probably would have, right? But that doesn't always necessarily equate. Verse number 13, he says, that thou turnest thy spirit against God, and lettest such words go out of your mouth. Job, you're saying things coming out of your mouth that are clearly not true. You're defaming God because clearly you've sinned, and you're saying that you haven't sinned. Well, God is the one who's telling us that you've sinned. So you're saying that you know more than God. And then he says, the last verse 34, he says this, for the congregation of hypocrites shall be desolate, and fire shall consume the tabernacles of bribery. He says, Job, you're nothing but a hypocrite. Job, you're doing nothing to help your situation here. We're older than you. We're older than your father, which means we're wiser. Job, we've learned by experience that problems happen because of sin. Clearly, this is your situation. You're a hypocrite. You're full of hot air, and you just need to repent. Flip over to chapter 22. Again, Job responded. We'll get to that in a little bit. Bildad speaks, Job responds, Zophar speaks, Job responds, Eliphaz speaks again here in chapter 22. So time passes between these speeches. But chapter 22, again, it's Eliphaz again, same guy in chapter 15. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, can a man be profitable unto God? As he that is wise may be profitable unto himself. Is it any pleasure to the Almighty that thou art righteous, or is it gain to him that thou makest thy ways perfect? He asked a tough question. In some respects, Eliphaz is correct here, but maybe he's not as correct as he thinks he is. But he asked the question, Job, let me ask you, can a human being be profitable to God? Can I bring profit to God, the sovereign of the universe? Does God need us? And the answer is, of course, God doesn't need me. Can I do anything to help the cause of God's kingdom? Well, that's a tougher question, right? Like, exactly what is he asking? Because God created man, not because he needs us, not because God was lonely, not because God couldn't care for the world without our help, but we have an opportunity to be part of the kingdom of God, to enhance what he has built here on this earth and the spiritual kingdom that is already in us and all around us. And in a sense, can a man be profitable unto God in that way? Does God take pleasure in what we do? Yes. If you were to drop off the face of the earth today, any one of us, is the kingdom of God going to go without a hitch? Of course. Because God doesn't need us. I don't know if you know, but the Apostle Paul hasn't been around for about 2,000 years. The church is still thriving under God's kingdom. But imagine being back in Paul's day. Imagine thinking, Paul's going to die. What are we going to do? Well, the church functions pretty well without the Apostle Paul. And it'll function well without any one of us as well. You know, if I were to drop dead today, guess what? You'll still have church on Wednesday night and next Sunday. And it is going to continue on. Because the church is bigger than any one of us. The church is about the kingdom of God. And so, in essence, Eliphaz is asking a question that really, probably we don't know exactly what he's thinking, but he's basically saying, Job, God doesn't need you. And in reality, Job would have said, I know. God doesn't need me. But he's trying to get across to him, listen, Job, just because you're hiding all of this sin and pretending you're right with God, it's not helping the cause of God. He doesn't, just repent and everything will be right because God doesn't need you. And Job would have said, I know he doesn't need me. But there's no sin in my life. As far as I know, there's no harboring of any animosity toward the things of God. So in essence, Psalm 147 talks about the fact that the Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him. So am I profitable to God? Not in the sense that God is making anything off of me, not in the sense that if I wasn't here on this earth, that God couldn't have done what he did without any one of us. He's perfectly capable of that. So again, Eliphaz is, again, bringing up another straw man argument. He's basically saying, Job, God doesn't need you, and the reason this has all happened is because of your sin, and he's getting ready to take you out. And guess what? When he takes you out, the world's going to get up, and the sun's going to rise tomorrow, and there's not going to be a problem. So you're doing God no good by hiding this sin. To which Job is saying, there's no sin there. I don't know what you're talking about. And he said over and over again, just show me. Show me where I've sinned. And He tried, because look at what he says down in verse number 5. Eliphaz says this, is not thy wickedness great and thine iniquities infinite? You imagine, this is his friend. Job, let me tell you, your wickedness is great and your iniquities are infinite. I can't even count how many sins you have. Well, which ones? I don't know. I haven't seen any. But there's a good chance that you've done some of these things. Maybe, he says in verse 6, maybe you've taken a pledge from your brother for naught. Stripped the naked of clothing. I don't know. Maybe you've done this in secret. I don't know. Let me give you some, for instance, what you could have done. Maybe you've not given water to the weary to drink. Maybe you've withholden bread from the hungry. But as for the mighty man he had on the earth, and the honorable man dwelt on it, maybe you've sent widows away empty, and the arms of the fatherless have been broken. Therefore, that's why there are snares about you, and sudden fear troubleth thee, or darkness that thou canst not see, and abundance of waters cover thee. Is not God in the height of heaven, and behold the height of the stars, how high they are? And thou sayest, how doth God know? Can he judge through the dark clouds? So let me give you, for instance, maybe you've done some of these things. I don't know what you've done, Job, but maybe you're just not a good person. But I can tell you, for somebody to suffer as much as you have, let me tell you, God's really angry. God is so disgusted with your sins that you have hidden, and I'm just trying to help you. Job's got some great responses. We'll get to that. Go back to chapter 18. Let's pick up his other friend. And again, friends are in air quotes, aren't they? Chapter 18. Bildad, again, he picks up. Says in verse 2, how long will it be ere you make an end of words? Mark, and afterwards we will speak. Said Job, why don't you just keep going, and when you find me run out of steam, then we'll tell you. Basically, he's saying, listen, we're tired of telling you the truth, and you just giving us a bunch of hot air. So we tell you again in a different way, and you give us more hot air. Why don't you just give us all your hot air? Stop, and then we'll just tell you the truth. Make it much easier, because Job, we want to have the last word here. We're tired of you having the last word. We want to have the last word. Isn't that frustrating when you don't get the last word? I mean, we all like to have the last word. And that's his free friends. We just want to have the last word with you. We want to tell you about God, and you say nothing at the end. Because that's where we need you to. We need you to get to the point where you will just shut up and repent. The funny thing is when God has the last word, everybody had to shut up. That's not today. We'll get to that. But anyway, that's what Bildad is saying. Will you just let us have the last word? And Job kept saying, no, I'm going to have the last word. Basically, Bildad is saying in chapter 18 and chapter 25, in fact, go down to verse number 21 of chapter 18. He says this, surely such are the dwellings of the wicked, and this is the place of him that knoweth not God. So he again said some of the basic same things he's been saying for a while, and he says, Job, you need to realize, you are the type of person who doesn't really know God. You don't have a right relationship with him. You think you do, and you say a lot of right words, but you know, when I look at your life, and all I can do is judge the outward man. Haven't we all said that? Job, we can't judge your heart. Of course we can't judge your heart. All we can do is judge the outward man. The outward man is telling us you're a sinner. Now again, we can be fruit inspectors, right? But we can't inspect somebody's life and say, hey, they're having problems, physical problems or emotional problems or other. And we can't say because of that, it's the judgment of God. Be careful with that. You know, somebody has a lot of problems in life. It's not because God's hand is heavy upon them because of sin. God may have other reasons, just like he did with Job. But again, that's what Bildad just simply says. Listen, you're the kind of guy who does not know who God is. You think you know him, you don't really know him. Chapter 25. Again, Job responded. Zophar speaks. Eliphaz, Job, Bildad again in chapter 25. Short chapter, shortest one in the book, I think. He says this, then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, dominion and fear are with him. He maketh peace in his high places. Is there any number of his armies? And upon whom doth not his light arise? How then can a man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the son of man, which is a worm. Whenever you have an argument with somebody and you're back and forth and you're telling the truth, you know, and just it's back and forth and they're just giving you hot air, which is kind of what Bildad thinks are doing. And you get to the point where your blood starts boiling and you just want to just, I don't know what you want to do. We all probably want to do something different. But you may not physically have him by the throat, but you're like, will you just listen to me? And that's where Bildad's at. Bildad gets to the point where he says, Job, do you not realize you're a maggot? That's what he says here, verse 6. He says, listen, the stars and the moon are not pure in God's sight. The moon is a reflection of the sun. The moon is a dead rock. It looks bright. It looks wonderful at night. But even the stars, even though they have light within them, they're not completely pure in the sight of God. How much less man or the son of man, which is a worm or a maggot? How horrible, because it's said that Job had maggots through his body. And again, these friends are using such language to try to get Job to understand, listen, God is angry with you. We're trying to help you. You just need to listen to us and repent. Job responds, we'll get to that. Go back to Zophar, back in chapter 20. Then answered Zophar the Naamathite and said, therefore do my thoughts cause me to answer. And for this I make haste. I have heard the check of my reproach, and the spirit of my understandeth causeth me to answer. I can't keep quiet. I got to say something. Knowest thou not this of old, since man was placed upon the earth? Don't you know this? This is how life works, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment. Job, don't you understand this? God always wins. The wicked always loses. The hypocrite will always be found out. And you can see Job saying, I agree. That's right. That's good theology. That's not me. To which just causes these guys to just blow up. Like, how can you agree with me and then disagree with me? And Job's saying, I agree with some of your theology. But again, you can't take this medicine that is good for the hypocrite and give it to somebody who's not a hypocrite. To which Zophar is basically saying, listen, you're going to die and you're going to perish because you're a hypocrite. And I don't even know if you're a believer. Because if you're that dead set that you're right, when all of these problems have happened, there, you've got a very, very big problem on your hands. And here was the problem with all three of his friends. None of us have encountered this, but they were all full of pride. And that's where we have struggles too, right? We struggle with pride. We struggle thinking we've got God all figured out. Here's what I know I'm good at. I'm good at figuring out everybody else's problems. It's hard to figure out your own problems, right? We can tell other people how to live. We can explain it. So we can tell somebody what you're doing wrong. But it is so hard to take the word of God and look in the mirror and say, God, please show me if I have any sin in my life, which is what Job has been doing. Job has been saying to God, Lord, if there's something, show me. Please, because I can't see it. I'm not claiming to be perfect. And I'm sure every night he went to bed and saying, God, I'm sure I blew it again today. I'm sure I misspoke. But he's making sure he's right with God. But his three friends, they were so full of themselves. And you know, it's easier to be full of yourself when things are going well. Why? Because like those three friends, we tend to think this way. If everything's going well in my life, God must approve of me. Again, that's just as bad as thinking if things are going wrong in my life, I've got sin. Because just because everything's going well doesn't mean that God is happy with you. Right? We've got to be very, very careful to not fall into the trap that Bildad, Zophar, and Eliphaz were thinking. But that's our problem with human nature, because we have pride. We tend to look at things from our rose-colored glasses, and when things are going well, God's happy, and when things are going bad, God's angry, and sometimes God's angry for no reason because God is not fair and God is not kind, and therefore I'm not going to serve him. See how the twist of theology is? And so we've got to be very careful with that. So Job, he starts responding to them. Again, the friends are misrepresenting God because that's what they're doing. They are telling Job, this is what God thinks. And yet, they didn't represent God very, very well. Go to chapter 16. Chapter 16 and 17, Job makes his first response to Eliphaz. He says this, "Then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. You know what I think of you guys? You guys are miserable comforters. All of you are. You're just miserable comforters. Shall vain words, empty words, have an end? Or what emboldeneth thee that thou answerest? I could also speak as you do, if your soul were in my soul's stead. I could heap up words against you and shake mine head at you." He said, I wouldn't do that. You know what I would do? I would strengthen you with my mouth. And the moving of my lips should assuage your grief. Job says to them, listen, because you're not really, you don't have a good bedside manner. You know, you're not good at comforting. You know, I thought you were here to comfort me. You came and you sat and you said nothing and you just were there and that was great, but you're not helping me. You know, we have to be careful with that. Sometimes there are some people that you need to go to and speak to them like this because they're clearly living in sin and they're demonstrating. They're clearly walking the wrong way. And sometimes some people you need to shake, right? But be careful that you're not shaking somebody and yelling at somebody who is not doing anything wrong. Just because you can't see it from their perspective, be careful. Job said, listen, if you're just giving me empty words. I don't know what emboldened you to think that you'd come and speak to me this way. It's because you're older. Doesn't give you the right to do that. And he says, if I were in your shoes, the tables were turned, and I was coming to you, you know what I would do? I would come and I would strengthen you with my words. I would build you up. Isn't that a biblical principle? That's what God tells us to do. Come alongside one another, encourage them, build them up. You know, be careful that we don't go around pointing fingers. Go around lifting people up, building people up. That's what God's desires for us to do. And especially when somebody's down, encourage them, pick them up. And it's kind of Job's response here to Eliphaz. He says, listen, God is my friend. Go to verse number 19. He said, also now, behold, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high. My friends scorn me, but mine eye poureth out tears unto God. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God as a man pleadeth for his neighbor. When a few years are come, then shall I go the way whence I shall not return. He said this, you know, I wish you guys were better friends. You're not. You know what? I have a friend in heaven. I have a witness that's speaking for me. Honestly, I don't know what he's saying because it doesn't make sense. It's a little frustrating, but I know he's there. I trust him. I believe him. And he said this, oh, that one might plead for man with God as a man pleadeth for his neighbor. He said, I wish there was one in heaven that could just be my advocate. Be the one that would stand in the gap, be a mediator between God and man. I wish I had that. I don't fully understand all that, but I wish that's what I had, which is kind of what he said in what Paul said in 1 Timothy 2:5. There's one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. 1 John 2:1, God says that there is a If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, the go-between, defense attorney, Jesus Christ the righteous. So he says, listen, guys, I don't know what else to tell you. He says, I know you think I'm a sinner, but let me tell you who I think my God is. My God is my friend. Now be careful. Job never said this. Job never said, God is my buddy. He never said, he's the man upstairs. Folks, we better treat our God with the utmost respect. He is a friend, but he's not my buddy. I can't talk to God like he's my best friend and say things to him that I would say. Don't demean God. Don't bring him down to our level. Be careful with how we talk about our God. But there is no friend like Jesus Christ. We need to thank him for that. So God is my friend, he said. So I wish you guys were better friends. You're not, but I have a better friend than you can ever imagine. Chapter 19, he says this. After he responds to Bildad, he says in verse 1, then Job answered and said, how long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? These 10 times have you reproached me. You're not ashamed that you make yourself strange to me. And he said this, and be it indeed that I have erred, mine error remaineth with myself. Paraphrase that. He said, guys, listen to me. He said, listen, if I have sinned secretly, guess what? It's none of your business. It's between me and God. He said, stop poking your fingers in my life when I'm trying to tell you there's not sin in my life. And, you know, you dig deep enough, you're bound to find something, of course. You can do that with everybody. But he said, you know what? I wish you'd just leave me alone. You know, go back to where you came from. Because this is doing you no good. You're getting irritated. And he says, I wonder when you guys are going to just be quiet because you're doing me no good. Verse 5, if indeed you will magnify yourselves against me and plead against me my reproach, now know that God hath overthrown me and hath compassed me with his net. Job says to his friends, because his friends keep saying, listen, Job, this is all from God. This is happening because you're a sinner. All of this trouble in your life is clearly coming from God. And he says, guys, let me tell you what I know. I know that everything that has happened in my life came through the hands of God. He may have directly sent it, or he may have allowed it. I don't know, but I know this. It all came from God. I'm not disputing that. I know that nothing happened in my life and nothing will happen in your life without passing through the hands of a loving God. I believe that with all of my heart. But he didn't do it because of sin. I don't know why he did it. I wish he would answer me. I wish I could take him to court and he would just have to respond because I keep praying and I hear nothing. You been there? Pray and I pray and I pray and it seems like he's not answering my prayers and I don't know what he's doing and I sometimes wonder maybe I've sinned, but I begged him, if there's sin, show me. I don't know what he's doing, but I know this, he's my friend. I know this, he's my redeemer. Look at chapter 19, verse number 25. Verse 23, oh that my words were written, or were now written. Oh that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. He said, because let me tell you what I believe about my God. So I wish I could, it's interesting, I wish I could write this down for all of mankind to hear forever, but all I can do is I can write it with a pen, but I wish I could preserve it for eternity. Isn't it neat? God did. God preserved it for eternity. He said, but if I could, again, this is several thousand years ago, if I could write something down and tell people, you know what I would tell them? I would tell them this, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Job didn't know a whole lot of theology about the future, other than what God had promised through Abraham. but he knew some of that. He was probably a contemporary of Abraham. And he knew some of the promise, but he didn't have it all. It wasn't a systematic theology yet. But he knew this. God promised back in the Garden of Eden that one day he was going to send a redeemer. One day he was going to stand on this earth. He said, God hasn't lied. It will happen. I know my God is coming back. He's my redeemer. My faith is in him. And though, after my skin, worms or maggots destroy this body, yet, notice this, in my flesh, I shall see God. Notice he didn't say my spirit. He knew this. He knew something about the resurrection. He believed that one day I'm going to die, but one day God is going to take my body that's going to be deteriorated, turned to dust again, but he's going to resurrect it. And this body is going to be glorified somehow. I don't understand it all, and I'm going to see my Savior face to face on this earth one day. I don't understand it all, but I believe it. What faith in the midst of a crisis. Whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. But ye should say, why persecute ye we him, seeing that the root of the matter is found in me? Be ye afraid of the sword, for wrath bringeth the punishment of the sword, that ye may know there is a judgment. So he's my friend, he's my redeemer. Chapter 21. Again, he responds to Zophar, but Job answered and said, hear diligently my speech, and let this be your consolations. Suffer me that I may speak, and after that I have spoken, mock on. So he said, I'm going to speak again. And afterward, just tell me what you want to tell me. But I can't not respond. I know Bildad said, please just shut up so that we can tell you all the truth, and you just keep quiet. He said, I can't do it. I've got to respond. So I'm going to respond, and then feel free to respond to me. You just keep mocking me. I don't care what you do. I'm not going to change what I'm saying. I don't think you're going to change what we're saying, what you're saying, but just keep mocking me. That's fine. As for me, is my complaint a man? If it were so, why should not my spirit be troubled? Mark ye, be astonished, and lay your hand upon your mouth. Even when I remember, I am afraid, and trembling taketh hold on my flesh. Wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, are mighty in power. Their seed is established in the sight of with them, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear. Neither is the rod of God upon them. And he goes on. So he says this. Let me ask you something, guys. He says, you keep telling me that this is clearly happening because I've sinned in my life. So let me ask you a question, because your theory, the way you think, your theology is this way. If I am being blessed, it's because God is being good, because things are right between me and him. If I have sinned in my life, God will judge me, and there will be punishment in my life, and that's why you equate me having all of these problems, because I must be really a big sinner, because I lost 10 children. I lost all my income. I lost my wealth. I lost my health. I've lost everything. I'm just in constant pain. So clearly, I must be a horrible sinner. So I get your point. So if your theology is correct, then tell me this. Why do some wicked people live a long time, have a lot of money, and have a lot of stuff? What happened there? They clearly can't answer that, because there is no answer to that. Because if their theology is correct, then that means the wicked should never be in power. The wicked should never be wealthy. And when you look at the world today, look at the church today, it's not how it works, is it? So their theology was way off base. And here's the problem. When you take a little bit of bad theology, if you try to carry that to the nth degree, you got a problem down the road. It's like sometimes, you know, when we try to be so separate from everything in this world, if you carry that to the nth degree, somebody's going to find that you didn't separate somewhere down, maybe 16 steps down the road, but you didn't separate from him, so maybe you're not as separated as you think you are. And so you got to be very careful with that. And so he reminds us here, I don't know what God's doing, but I know this, God is sovereign. I'm not going to change that thought. I believe my God is sovereign. He's my friend. He's my redeemer. He is my sovereign, and he is my all in all. Look at chapter 23. Again, Job answered and said, even today is my complaint better. My stroke is heavier than my groanings. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Then I might come even to his seat. I don't know where God's at. If I did, he said, I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would take him to court. That's what he's saying. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. He said, I don't know. He said, wherever I go, verse 8, before I go forward, he's not there. I go backward, I can't perceive him. I go to the left, and he doth not work. But I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. So he says, wherever I go, he says, I can't find God. I'm praying, I'm asking him, I'm searching for him. I wish he would come to me and tell me what's going on. I don't know. I know this. He's my friend. He's my redeemer. He is my sovereign. He's my all in all. No matter what happens, I believe my God, and I will never turn my back on him. And he says this in verse 10. I know this. He knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, when he is done doing what he's doing in my life, I know this. His plan is to work gold in me. I don't know what he's doing. I wish he would stop, but I know the end result of what he's doing is good. He didn't have Romans 8:28 written down yet, but he said this, I know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. It's best I can say, that's what I know. He says, my foot hath held his steps. My way have I kept. There is way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Do you? Do you esteem the words of God's mouth, which means your Bible? Do you esteem spending time with God more important than breakfast, lunch, or dinner? Job did. It's more important to me to hear from God than eating food. He's in one mind, verse 13. Who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. Again, see the sovereignty of God. I believe it, and I believe what he's doing is good. And many such things are with him. Therefore, when I am troubled at his presence, when I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. Because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. Why, seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they that know him not see his days? And he goes on in the rest of this chapter, and basically he is saying, listen, guys, I don't have an answer for you why this is happening. But I know that I have a friend in heaven. He loves me. He cares about me. He saved me. He's my redeemer. I've placed my faith in him alone and nothing else. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a good person. I'm not going to heaven because I prayed a prayer. I'm going to heaven because I have a personal relationship with the God of heaven. And I believe that one day he's coming back. And I believe that. I trust that because he promised this, and I have absolute faith in him. I know he's a good God. It doesn't feel good. I don't know what he's doing. I wish he would fix this and take it away, but I know he's working it for good. Jeremiah 29 says the same thing. 29:11. He reminds us that God, his end game is peace. His end game for my life is peace. He's not planning something bad. He's not plotting difficult things in my life just because he can. He loves me. And I believe that. I don't know what he's doing. And to be honest, Job would say, I'm a little irritated with God. Because because this doesn't make any sense. Because you know what? You three friends, you deserve this. You scoundrels. But he didn't send it to you. He sent it to me. And every one of us in this room has something different that we're going through. And some of you in here have some severe heartaches. Some you don't. And maybe you've never had a major severe heartache. But if you live long enough, you will experience some. Because they happen in life to the most faithful person and to the most unfaithful person. It really doesn't matter because problems come. Sometimes, and I don't know that any of us will ever get to the point where God will look down from heaven and say, "Hey, Satan, when I look across all of mankind on the face of the earth in the year 2017, have you considered?" He's not going to point at Ron Whitehead and say, "There's none like him." It'd be a little arrogant for any of us to think that he's going to point at you and say, "Have." But he pointed at Job. But listen, we do have an enemy. It's the same enemy Job faced. And he doesn't want to kill you. He wants to destroy you spiritually. He wants you to get to the point where you don't go to church anymore, where you don't read your Bible anymore, where you don't pray to God anymore. He wants to destroy you spiritually. There may be some that are on the fringe right now. Nobody knows it, but you're on the fringe. Just a few more things and you're done with God. Because we get to the point sometimes where we're like Job and we say, I'm irritated. I don't know what he's doing. I don't understand it. And I don't think he loves me. I don't think he's my friend. And praise the Lord, Job reminds us, nobody has ever endured what Job endured. And he came out saying, you can trust him. No matter what, you can trust my God. And so Job's focus is this: deep down, I know God loves me. Deep down, I know God has a special plan. I don't understand it. I don't know why he's doing it this way. But I will never, ever turn my back on my Savior and my friend. And I hope that you have that same mindset. Peter read earlier, John 14, verse 19. Jesus said this, because I live, because of the resurrection, you live also. And that's our hope. It's the blessed hope. It's the confidence that we have that this book is true. If this book isn't true, you're wasting your time coming to church every Sunday. Let me tell you, there's a lot better things you could do if this is a lie. This book is true. Trust him in everything and at all times. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that we have a God that we can trust. A God who is our friend, who is our Savior, who is our Redeemer. Thank you, Lord, for showing us again yourself a little bit through the life of Job. And Lord, no matter what happens in our lives this week or in the days to come, we know, Lord, that we can't escape this world without trials and tragedies and heartaches. It's part of life. But Lord, help us to realize that we can live in the joy of the Spirit no matter what happens. Because we have a God who cares, a God who is working things for a greater good than we can ever imagine. Lord, I pray that everyone here today knows you as our own personal Savior. But Lord, we don't have any assurance of that. Only you know our hearts. And Lord, should there be one here today that maybe has never understood this, they've never truly been born again, I pray that today they would just surrender their heart to you. Lord, there may be a believer here who's on the fringe of giving up on you. I pray that you work in our hearts. Lord, help us to respond to you. As we close and sing that song, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. May we live it and demonstrate it this week. But Lord, work in our hearts. If someone needs to embrace Christ today, may they make that right this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. As we close, hymn 376, I have decided to follow Jesus. I hope we can sing that and mean that. Let's stand as we sing it today. 376.